Start your reading. I just might stake out a claim and settle down here, Jim.
It is spectacular, isn't it?
It's a shame naft and true.
Well, the last scout ship reported some pretty strange sensor readings. Starfleet wants it investigated and the inhabitants contacted with the patrol.
Soil here is remarkably rich and fertile, Captain. Husbandry would be quite efficacious.
You sure about that?
Oh, quite sure. Readings indicate the entire planet is covered with growth like this. Curious, even at the poles, there's very little variation in temperature, which maintains a planet-wide average of 76 degrees.
I know, almost impossible.
It makes me homesick. Just like Russia.
More like the Garden of Eden, Ensign.
Of course, Doctor. The Garden of Eden was just outside Moscow. A very nice place. It must have made Adam and Eve very sad to leave.
Just outside Moscow, all right.
There's a village about 17 kilometers away on bearing 232. We'll head that way.
Captain.
Somebody say that paradise must have looked like this. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Stardate 3715.3. While making a routine exploration of the unexplored Gamma Trianguli 6, one of my men has been killed by a poisonous plant. As soon as we get out of the way, beam the body up.
Aye, Captain. That's a shame about Hendorf.
We seem to have a problem here, too.
What is it?
We're losing potency in our antimatter pods. I don't think it's serious, but we're looking into it.
What's causing it?
I'm not sure, sir. But we've run measurements on the electromagnetic field of the planet, and they are a wee bit abnormal. That might have something to do with it.
But you say there's nothing to worry about.
Well, sir, I didn't exactly say that.
Well, stay on top of it. We got a job to do here. Might as well finish it.
I hear it's nice down there.
Yeah, it's nice. If we're a little more careful, we shouldn't run into any more trouble.
I could do with a nice walk in a garden with green leaves and grass.
We'll do the walking, Scotty. You get on the antimatter pod. If it gets any worse, let me know. We'll beam up. Kirk out.
I find that most unusual, Captain.
Well, Scotty, we'll handle it. We got a job to do. Turn up anything on your tricorder.
Indeed. Subsurface vibrations for miles in all directions.
It's strange.
Quite strong, fairly regular, artificially produced.
Mallory.
Yes, Captain?
We're heading for the village. Avoid contact with the humanoids. But I want you and Marple to make a full reconnaissance. So be careful. There may be other danger besides poisonous plants. Keep in constant communication.
Aye, sir.
Captain. What is it? There's a humanoid hiding directly behind us, moving with remarkable agility, bearing 1-8.
What is it, Mr. Spock?
Visitor? One wanting to retain his anonymity, I should say.
All this beauty, and now Mr. Hendorf dead, somebody watching us. It's frightening.
If you insist on worrying, worry about me. I've been wanting to get you in a place like this for a long time.
Chekhov. Landon, I know you find each other fascinating, but we're not here to conduct a field experiment in human biology.
I was just about to take some readings.
Anything?
Whatever it is, it moves like a cat.
Jim, I don't like this.
Neither do I. All hands. We've been watched. We'll probably be watched. We're moving out. Formation L.
Extremely low specific gravity. Some uraninite, hornblende, quartz. Fragile, good cleavage. An analysis should prove interesting.
Would you mind being careful where you throw your rocks, Mr. Spock?
Obviously, highly unstable, Captain. This could be a find of some importance. In large quantities, it could be a considerable source of power.
Garden of Eden. With landmines.
Enterprise to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
Scott, sir. Our antimatter pods are completely inert.
I couldn't stop it, but I know why.
Why?
Something from the surface, like a pail of water on a fire. A beam, maybe, or a transmission. And it's still on. I'm having it analyzed, but it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
And it's pinpointed in the area of that village we located down there.
We're heading there now, Scotty. Do you need any help?
Well, there's nothing you could do about it, sir.
And there doesn't seem to be any immediate danger.
All right, Scotty, we'll try and find out what's going on down here. Kirk out. If Scott is correct about the force from the surface, it may have to do with the vibrations I read earlier.
Some kind of generator?
If so, an immense one. Probably subterranean.
What's that?
Some of the thorns, like those that kill Hindor. See the stuff on the end?
Mm.
It's like saplin, only it's 1,000 times stronger.
Peculiar stuff to find in paradise.
Jim! Spock!
Spock! Security alert. Is he alive?
Filling with enough massiform D to make the whole crew turn handsprings, and he's not responding. Got to get him back to the ship, Jim.
Kirk Enterprise.
Scott here, sir.
We're beaming up. Notify transporter room. And make arrangements to pick up Mallory and Marple. They're scouting ahead of us.
Aye, aye, sir. Transporter room. Stand by to beam up landing party. All hands. Standing by, sir.
Energize.
Energize.
Energize. Scotty, what's the matter?
We can't make transporter contact, sir. The entire system's inhibited. The way it is now, we couldn't beam up a fly.
Captain's log, supplementary. Our investigation of Gamma Trianguli 6 has suddenly turned into a nightmare. We're being watched and followed. Mr. Spock has been injured, and now we find we are unable to return to the ship.
Scotty, is the transporter malfunction tied in with the trouble you're having with the antimatter pods?
I don't know, sir. I'll check it and get back to you. Scott out.
What? You all right?
Dr. McCoy's potion is acting like all his potions, turning my stomach. Other than that, I am quite well.
But if your blood were red instead of green, you wouldn't have an upset stomach.
Just what do you think you were trying to do?
I surmised you were unaware of that plant, so I...
stepped in front and took the thorns yourself.
I assure you, Captain, I had no intention of doing that. It was merely my own clumsiness which prevented me from moving out of the way.
I see. Well, next time, just yell. I can step out of the way as quickly as the next man.
I shall do so.
Trying to get yourself killed. Do you know how much Starfleet has invested in you?
122,200...
Never mind. But, thanks. Captain, take the post. Not only is something after us, but it's after the ship as well.
Captain, to affect the ship at this extreme range would require a highly sophisticated planetary defense system.
Beautiful day, Mrs. Spock. Not a cloud in the sky. Just like paradise. Kirk here.
Mallory here, Captain. I'm near the village. Coordinates 118 by 220.
It's all right.
Mallory. Mallory, you all right? Come in.
The village is primitive. Strictly tribal from the looks of it. And, Captain, there's something else. Captain, come in.
Mallory. Mallory, you all right? Mallory!
Captain, those coordinates are a short distance in that direction.
On the double.
Hand off.
I know Captain's family. Now, Mallory.
Jim, you couldn't have stopped any of this.
His father helped me get into the academy.
Captain.
In each case, this was unavoidable.
I could have prevented all of it.
I don't see how.
Walk in paradise. Among the green grass and the flowers, I should have beamed up at the first sign of trouble.
You are under orders to investigate this planet and this culture.
I also have the option to disregard those orders if I consider them overly hazardous. This isn't that important a mission, Spock. Not worth the lives of three of my men. I dropped my guard for a minute because I like the smell of growing things. Now three men are dead, and the ship's in trouble.
No one has ever stated that Starfleet duty was particularly safe. You followed the correct and logical course, done everything a commander could do. Self-recriminations. Captain. Our friend is back.
Marple, Stekov, at attention.
General, something or someone is behind that rock. I want it. Marple, cut around the rock to your right. Make a loud noise. You and Chekhov create a diversion and make it loud.
Mr. Chekhov, your tricorder readings are totally inefficient.
Mind your own business, sir. For your information, I have a very high efficiency rate.
Ensign, I will not have you address me in that tone of voice.
What do you want? Violins?
I won't hurt you. Do you understand? I won't hurt you.
It struck me with your hand.
Well, I won't strike you again. You've been following us, watching us. Why?
I am the eyes of Vol. He must see.
Who is Vol?
Vol is Vol. He is everything.
Do you have a name?
I am Akuta. I am the leader of the feeders of Vol.
They're not going to hurt you, I promise you. Akuta. Akuta. We come in peace. We would like to speak to this Vol.
Akuta alone speaks to Vol. I am the eyes and the voice of Vol. It is Vol's wish.
Captain, this is fascinating. If you'll permit me, sir.
Antennae?
They are my ears for Vol. They were given to me in the dim time, so the people could understand his commands and obey.
You speak of the people of Vol. Are they nearby?
We are close to Vol, so we may serve him. I shall take you there.
Enterprise to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
Condition red, condition red. Captain, something has grabbed us from the planet's surface.
Like a giant tractor beam, and we can't break loose.
It's no use, Mr. Scott. We're just barely holding our own.
Scotty, the warp drive's still out.
Aye, sir. All we have is impulse power.
Put it on maximum. Full emergency circuits.
They're all on, Captain.
Status. Are you still holding?
Fire.
No, sir. We're slipping.
Computer bank's power. Feed in a rate. Get me a figure. We might be able to pull out with warp drive, but without it...
We're like a fly-on-fly paper. Even worse.
We're starting to lose ground. Hurry up with the figure, Kyle.
Maintain full reverse thrust against the pull. Put a team on that warp drive. Get it working.
I've done that, Captain. They haven't been able to do a thing. It's no good, Captain. With maximum thrust against the pull...
We'll only be able to maintain full power for 16 hours. Then we burn up for sure.
Scotty, You're my chief engineer. You know everything about that ship that there is to know, more than the men who designed it. If you can't get those warp engines working, you're fired.
I'll do everything there is to do, sir. Scott out.
Tell me about Val.
All the world knows about Val. He causes the rains to fall and the sun to shine. All good comes from Val.
Take me to him. I wish to speak to him.
I shall take you to him. But he will not speak to you. He speaks only to me.
I'll take my chances.
Ball.
Captain's log, stardate 3715.6. We have been introduced to Vol, evidently the source of the planet's power emanations, and possibly the force that threatens both us and our ship.
Fascinating. Very high order of workmanship, very ancient, generating great power.
But this is not the center, Mr. Spark.
No, Captain. The center is deep in the earth beneath us. This is an access point. It would also seem to be a...
a force field?
Obviously.
You all right?
Yes, quite. It extends some 30 feet beyond the figure in all directions. Conventional in composition. And quite formidable.
Akuta, how do you talk to Val?
Val calls me. Only then.
Well, we can't get to it. Can't talk to it unless it wants to talk to us.
Val sleeps now. When he is hungry, you may be able to speak with him, if he desires it.
When does he get hungry?
Soon. Come. We will give you food and drink. If you are tired, you may rest. These are the people of Vol.
Where are the others?
There are no others.
The children.
Children? You use unknown words to me.
Little ones, like yourselves, they grow.
Ah, replacements. None are necessary. They are forbidden by Vol.
But when a man and woman fall in love.
Love. Strange words. Children, love. What is love?
Love is when two people are...
Ah. Yes, the holding, the touching. Vol has forbidden this.
Well, there goes paradise.
These people are from another place. They have come among us. Welcome them.
Welcome to Val.
Our homes are open to you.
No, thank you. It does something for you.
Yes, indeed it does, Captain. It makes me uncomfortable.
I'm Sayana. You have a name?
Yes, Spock. I am Spock.
Spock.
I fail to see what they find so amusing.
This house is your house. I will send you more food and drink. You are welcome in the place of Val.
Now, we're welcome. A while ago, this whole plant was trying to kill us. doesn't make sense.
Nothing makes sense down here.
Kirk to Enterprise, come in.
Scott here.
Status report, Scotty.
No change, Captain. The orbit is decaying along computed lines. No success with the warp drive, but going down and we can't stop it.
I'm sick of hearing that word can't. Get that ship out of there.
Sir, we're doing everything within engineering reason.
Then use your imagination. Tie every ounce of power the ship has into the impulse engines. Discard the warp drive and the cells if you have to, and crack out of there with the main section, but get that ship out of there.
Sir, I'm going to switch over everything but the life support systems and boost the impulse power, but that's just about as dangerous.
Do it. Kirk out.
Incredible. Report. I just ran a thorough check on the natives, and there's a complete lack of harmful bacteria in their system. No decalcification, no degeneration of tissue, no arteriosclerosis. In simple terms, Jim, they're not growing old. And I can't begin to tell you how old they are. 20 years or 20,000 years. You see?
Opinion?
Quite possible. It checks with my atmospheric analysis. Their atmosphere completely negates any harmful effects from their sun.
At that simple diet, perfectly controlled temperature, no natural enemies, apparently no vices, no replacements needed. Maybe it is paradise after all.
Apparently, our hypothesis is correct. There is no living being there. It is a machine, nothing more.
The field's down. People are going in. Let's see what kind of luck we have. That's not the way.
Evidently not. This is no ordinary machine, Captain. It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
But it needs to eat frequently. So it can't have any great power reserves.
That may not be of any help. The Enterprise has only 10 hours left in which to break free.
What happens if Vol weakens around feeding time? Spock, check the electromagnetic section of the astrophysics lab. Get an estimate of the total amount of energy being expended against the ship. Have them measure it hour by hour.
Acknowledged.
What's going on, Jim?
Mess call.
In my view, a splendid example of reciprocity.
It would take a computerized Vulcan mind such as yours to make that kind of a statement.
Doctor, you insist on applying human standards to non-human cultures. I remind you that humans are only a tiny minority in this galaxy.
There are certain absolutes, Mr. Spock, and one of them is the right of humanoids to a free and unchained environment. The right to have conditions which permit growth.
Another is their right to choose a system which seems to work for them.
Jim, you're not just going to stand by and be blinded to what's going on here. These are humanoids, intelligent. They need to advance and grow. Don't you understand what my readings indicate? There's been no change or progress here in at least 10,000 years. This isn't life. It's stagnation.
Doctor, these people are healthy and they are happy. Whatever you choose to call it, this system works, despite your emotional reaction to it.
It might work for you, Mr. Spock, but it doesn't work for me. Humanoids live in so they can service a hunk of tin.
Gentlemen, I think this philosophical argument can wait until our ship's out of danger. Kirk here.
Scotty, sir. We have a reading on the power source Mr. Spock requested. When we first monitored, it was generating alternating cycles totaling 100 to the 20th power Wartum units.
Did it maintain, Scotty?
No, sir. Power's dropping bit by bit. Nominal, but a definite drain.
Good. Keep monitoring.
How are you coming along with the circuit switchover?
We're putting everything but the kitchen sink into the impulse power, sir. It'll take us another 8 hours to complete the work.
That's cutting it a bit fine, Scotty.
Aye. But if we don't break out, I'd rather we didn't have to wait too long for the end of it.
Kirk out.
Every time I think of the Enterprise burning up and
Gentlemen, you're wasting energy.
Captain, we're trapped.
Sit down and have something to eat.
The Enterprise is up
that
there.
That hasn't happened yet. I wonder what would happen. Yeoman, speculate. What would happen if someone on this planet died?
But they can't. You said that Val takes care of them.
Accidents happen?
Yes. I suppose if someone were to fall off a cliff or something, that might upset the balance of the population. Then they would need a replacement.
They'd need a replacement. Opinion, Mr. Spock?
I see no alternative.
But these people, I mean, if they don't know anything about... What I mean is, they don't seem to have any natural... I mean, how is it done?
Mrs. Spock, hey, you're the science officer. Why don't you explain it to the young lady?
Well, I believe it's safe... safe to assume that they would receive the necessary instructions
from a machine. That I'd like to see.
I understand, Val. It shall be done.
You know, if it weren't for Val, this place would be a paradise.
Any place we can be together is paradise.
Pav, can the ship really break away?
I don't know.
Will we be able to get back aboard?
Marta, I don't know. But if we do have to stay here, would it be so very bad?
No. Not if you're with me.
I do not understand.
They were not angry. I think it was pleasant for them.
But what is to be gained? It is not a dance. It gathers no food. It does not serve Val. But it did seem as though it was pleasant to them.
Thank you. pleasant, Makara.
Yes. They touched in this way.
He's angry.
The law is plain. I have given you the words of Val.
Do you beg the lightning to strike?
We saw the strangers. The two of them do this thing.
You copied them?
We meant no harm.
Val speaks truly to me. The newcomers are a danger. Tell the men of Val to meet me in the clear place when the strangers are asleep. It is Val's own words. Val has spoken to me. His words are true. Hear them. We are to kill the strangers.
Kill, Makuta? We do not understand.
It is a thing to do, like feeding Val. Val explained it to me. I will show you. This is the head of one of the strangers. Find a heavy stick. Come up from behind the stranger and do this. It is a simple thing. It is the word of all. It will be done. To all of them. And the sun returns in the morning.
I am concerned, Captain. This may not be an ideal society, but it is a viable one.
Bones was right. These people aren't living, they're existing. They don't create, they don't produce, they don't even think. They exist to service a machine.
If we do what it seems we must, in my opinion, we'll be in direct violation of the non-interference directive.
These are people, not robots. They should have the opportunity of choice. We owe it to them to interfere.
Starfleet Command may think otherwise.
I'll take my chances. Why don't you have a look around?
Director Enterprise, Mr. Scott.
Here, sir.
How's it going, Scotty?
Almost ready, sir. We'll need a half an hour yet.
You realize that within 45 minutes, the ship will be pulled down into the atmosphere.
I know that. As you said, that's cutting things fine.
Yes.
Captain. Kirk out. What is it?
Disturbing. The people of Val seem to have disappeared. Force field, Captain.
Val. We are on a peaceful mission.
We mean no harm to you or your people.
Variation in impulses, Captain. I believe it is reading us. Strong jump on all wavelengths.
Let's get out of here!
Second-degree burns. Not serious, but I bet they're smart.
Doctor, you have an unsurpassed talent for understatement.
Find out where the women are. Put them in there, too.
The good doctor was concerned that the Valiants achieved true human stature. I submit there's no cause for worry. They've taken the first step. They've learned to kill.
Ready here, sir. All available power has been channeled into the impulse engines. We have 12 minutes before entering atmosphere.
All right, Scotty, put her in full reverse. Get her out of there.
Full reverse, Mr. Kyle, all engines.
Sir! Captain, we're doing it. We're pulling away.
Scotty, what happened?
It's no good, sir. There's only a few systems responding.
Captain, we pulled away a little. We gained maybe an hour, but we blew almost every system in the ship doing it.
There's nothing left to try again. I guess you'll have to fire me, sir.
You're fired. People.
Jim.
They'll die because I couldn't see a warning sign. I had to follow orders. Always orders.
Get back in there.
Fine time to ring the dinner bell.
Get back in there. Now.
Bones, that's it.
Back in there.
Stay with Chekhov. Keep those people from feeding Vol. Don't let them feed Vol. Keep them in the hut. Mr. Spock!
Scotty, we still have phaser power.
Aye, but what...
Lock all banks on the coordinates of the energy field located down here. On my command, commence firing on those coordinates.
Aye, sir, but they won't penetrate that force field.
My guess is correct. They won't have to. Stand by.
Val calls to us. Let us go to him. He hungers. Please.
Readings are getting weaker, Captain. Wide variation in energy transmissions, as though Val were trying to draw on other sources.
Tapping its energy cells.
I would assume so.
Good. Ship's pulling away must have weakened it considerably. It has to be fed. But its reserve capacity could hold out for days.
If it had to reinforce its energy field to ward off a phaser attack, it would have to draw more heavily on its reserves.
My plan, exactly. Scotty.
Scott here, sir.
Scotty, commence firing and maintain.
Mr. Kyle, all phasers, commence firing.
This upsurge in generated power, Captain. Obviously, Vol is trying to reinforce his energy field.
Good. Let's see how long he can do it.
power generation at all, Captain. Vol is dead.
Mr. Scott, status report.
Tractor beam gone. Potency returning to antimatter pods.
I'll have all engineering sections working on the circuits immediately. Transporter will be ready in an hour.
Scotty, you're rehired. As soon as the transporter's fixed, form an engineering detail with full analytical equipment and beam them down. Kirk out. Check off. Bones, let those people go.
But it was Vol who put the fruit on the trees, caused the rain to fall. Vol cared for us.
You learn to care for yourselves with our help. And there's no trick to putting fruit on trees. You might even enjoy it. You learn to build for yourselves, think for yourselves, work for yourselves, and what you create is yours. That's what we call freedom. You'll like it a lot. And you learn something about men and women, the way they're supposed to be. Caring for each other, being happy with each other, being good to each other. That's what we call love. You'll like that too, a lot. You and your children.
What are children?
The little ones look like you. They just go on the way you're going, you'll find out.
I don't agree with you at all, Mr. Spock.
That's not unusual, Doctor.
Hey, Jim, I want you to hear this.
Captain, I'm not at all certain we did the correct thing on Gamma Triangulae 6.
We put those people back on a normal course of social evolution. I see nothing wrong in that.
Why, that's a good object lesson, Mr. Spock. An example of what can happen when the machine becomes too efficient, does too much work for you.
Captain, you are aware of the biblical story of Genesis.
Yes, of course I'm aware of that. Adam and Eve tasted the apple, and as a result, were driven out of paradise.
Precisely, Captain. And in a manner of speaking, we have given the people of Vile the apple, the knowledge of good and evil, if you will, as a result of which they, too, have been driven out of paradise.
Doctor, do I understand him correctly? Are you casting me in the role of Satan?
Not at all, Captain.
Is there anyone on this ship who even remotely looks like Satan?
I am not aware of anyone who fits that description, Captain.
No, Mr. Spock, I didn't think you would.